Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost. Who wants a bunk bed, Belle? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Belle. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Belle.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Belle and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode, a little girl inherits some of her uncle's belongings and finds his ghost came along too. His spirit startles a listener in the night, but she's able to find out who he is and ask him to leave. A college student cannot see the person next to her, but a reflection shows someone is there. And a young woman is giddy with excitement when she tours a home only to have something make her leave in a hurry. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I enjoyed shooting texture at a wall just before we came in here.
It's kind of like silly string
that
sticks with a purpose.
Could you do silly string? Would silly string
work?
No,
it would stick.
Yeah, it would kind of fall off.
And this needs to be like little spots and not like a strand.
Yeah. Do you remember the silly string scare? That's a fun one to say. Silly string scare.
No.
Of, I don't know, probably like 1996-ish.
You're making this up?
95. I'm not making it up. It might have been earlier than that. I don't know if it was so much a scare as just more so, hey, someone realized the potential of, putting matches in front of an aerosol can.
Oh.
I remember seeing it like on, did you know, like the news investigative teams, like tonight we're investigating silly string. If your children put lighters in front of it, it could go up in flames. How about you don't give your kids lighters?
Yeah.
Or keep those things, like, there's a lot of things that can go up in flames if the children have lighters.
That's
pretty
true.
Much everything can go up in flames if the children have lighters. But it's one of those things where I was like seeing the investigative report on it, and they did some video showing just like it basically, an aerosol can turns things into a flamethrower, but I remember the silly string of that time, and maybe it's still the same today, I don't know. The silly string itself would engulf in flames as well, and then you have the string all over stuff or people, and the concern was children doing this. Now, I don't know if this was actually a thing, and this was something where there was a horrible accident, and then this was brought to people's attention, or if it was more so, hey, this could be a really great let's scare mom news story. And that's kind of where it came out of.
Who knows?
I remember there's also another product at the time. There was like this focus on flammable everything. There was a fabric product that was very popular being used by women at the time in like skirts and such that also could go up in flames.
Oh.
Very quickly and very easily. I don't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But I remember my mom like going, I have some skirts like that. I better get rid of them. Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case. Anyway, someone will know what I'm talking about. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter today as soon as I get the music queued up and going. There we go. From Kara. Kara writes in, hi again. This is my second time writing into you guys. Just became an EPP member today. So I'm so happy to hear on the episode of The Shadow, you talked about my experience. It was by far the strangest thing that has happened to myself and my family. We still don't understand it. I've been trying to do research to find who Alfred is. I cannot find anything. But anyway, I thought I'd tell you my first experience to my knowledge with the paranormal. It's kind of a long story in advance. When I was about 9 or 10, my uncle passed away. I'd say I was pretty close with him. My dad inherited most of his belongings, TV, DVD, players, treadmill, stuff like that. Growing up, I was always afraid to sleep by myself for some reason, up until I was 7 years old. I slept with either my mom or one of my sisters. Eventually, my mom made me start sleeping on my own. Because I had to sleep on my own, my mom got me a little TV to keep on at night while I slept. That became the only way I could sleep. After my uncle passed, my dad decided I would get his big TV for my room. While I was a little girl who was always frightened of everything, I was thankful for a bigger TV because that meant more light to fill the room while I slept. There were many times I'd be watching TV, didn't matter in the morning or night, and I'd leave to go downstairs for a drink or whatever. When I'd return to my room, the TV would be off. I didn't really think much of it until one night I woke up around 2 a.m. and I couldn't fall back asleep, so I decided to turn towards the TV and watch that till I fell asleep. Within 10 minutes, the TV shut off. It was the first time this happened, so of course I freaked out and pulled my covers over my head and cried. Needless to say, I didn't get much sleep, didn't say anything to anyone, didn't want to seem crazy. So a few nights later, same thing happened. Then again, a few nights later. Eventually, I stopped getting scared and went to my mom and told her what's been happening. She began to explain to me about ghosts and told me it's probably my uncle trying to let me know that he's there. He does things like that to her too. She had his DVD player and it would always turn on. Knowing that, I got scared all over again. She told me, try telling him to keep it on or tell him you're scared. He loves you. He doesn't want you to fear him. That's what I did. One night I woke up after a few minutes, TV went off, took some courage, but I took a deep breath and said, Uncle Andrew, please turn it back on. I'm scared to sleep in the dark. Took a few minutes, but the TV did end up turning back on. TV stopped turning off, and only little things would happen, noises and cold breezes. I spent a lot of my childhood trying to understand ghosts, and I spent many days with my friends around candles trying to ask questions. In the basement, we had my uncle's treadmill, and it was right next to where we would light candles and sit. On the treadmill, there was an emergency string that hangs down with a plastic piece attached to it. One time, a bunch of my friends and I lit a candle and held hands and started talking to my uncle. We asked for a sign he was there, and within seconds, the emergency string flung straight up and fell back down. But instead of it swinging back and forth, it abruptly stopped right where it was before we began. That was the end of that. We blew out the candle, ran upstairs. A week or so after that, my friend and I were watching TV in the living room, and it was nighttime, so it was dark, and the only light was from the TV. From my living room, you can clearly see into my dining room. At one point, the house behind me had their car light shining into my house. Since it was making a glare on my TV, I paused the movie and waited for the lights to go away. As a person was backing out of the driveway, the lights moved across my dining room, and naturally, we watched it as it started to get dark again. Within the split second of it going through my dining room, my friend and I both saw a huge black figure walk across the doorway in my dining room. We both screamed and looked at each other. I jumped up and turned the light and called my dad. He started laughing and said, don't you know that today is the 6-month anniversary of his death? He's making sure you don't forget him. After that, I pretty much have been obsessed with the paranormal, and whenever I go anywhere, I try to find out what the history of the place is. I wonder if maybe I get my sensitivity from my mom. She's told me a million stories from her life, and I could tell you a bunch more stories that would make you think maybe my family attracts ghosts. I hope to hear this on the show as well. Can't tell you how much I appreciate your show, knowing that there are tons of people who experience these things as well. Thank you again.
I do think in this case it is probably the uncle. Because, yeah. You know, the way that she said that, you know, scared her to be in the dark and she wanted the TV on, that it came back on and it didn't seem to do anything on purpose mm-hmm. to scare. I mean, of course you're going to be afraid when you suddenly see a shadow, but I don't think it's something bad in this case.
It's just kind of there mm-hmm. doing his thing. Probably a lot of times not even intending to be seen or to be, you know, have a reaction or trying to give any sort of message. Just there.
Yeah.
Kind of like just watching out, looking out, going to try and help out when he can. But just, yeah, another resident that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you really want to get the ghosts to go away, you know what you need? Fennel spice steaks.
Yeah.
They don't like fennel. Ghosts hate fennel.
You don't know that.
I'm making that one up. But I figure if there's something with sage, maybe fennel is another thing. You know, it's another commonly used spice. You know, I have no idea. Fennel spice steaks, garlic roast potato and green bean salad, seared chicken, purple barley with brown butter, corn, and tomatoes. Great fall recipes. Good stuff going on with Blue Apron right now. That's just some of the stuff that you're going to find on the menu. In September with Blue Apron. You got to check these guys out. They're a supporter of our show, and we love their stuff. We've been using them well before they were even supporting the show. They're the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country for a reason. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They have options where you can just get the two meals, you know, a meal for two, if you will, a couple times a week, or as much as you want, really. Or they also have the option of the four-person meal as well, where you can do that. I believe up to four times a week as well. So two times a week, four times a week. We'd like the four-person meal two times a week. That's typically what
We do, but I'm excited for fall because that's my favorite Blue Apron season.
And they really, their ingredients are all very seasonal. They don't repeat them in the same year, so you get stuff that's fresh, that's right for the season, and there's a lot of great stuff in there in fall. Just to name a few of those things, like I just said before. Check it out for yourself. Those great recipes that are there for fall. It's affordable, less than $10 a person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients. That's the part I love. It makes delicious home-cooked meals, and there's a ton of variety on there. It's flexible, too. If you're going on vacation, you want to take a week off, you can easily do that. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals for free with free shipping. You got nothing to lose if you've not ever tried it. BlueApron.com/ghost. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. BlueApron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Continuing on, Diane writes in, "Hi, I'm Diane from Bismarck, North Dakota. In 2004, my sister, her husband, and I moved into a house built in the 1960s. We planned to gut it and renovate it upstairs to her and her husband's taste, and I would get the downstairs to create a new place to suit me. The first night we were there, it already felt like home to me. It was a sweet house on a tree-lined street that reminded me of the house our grandma lived in. I was home. We went to bed, exhausted from a long move. They in the main bedroom and I in the tiny guest room of their upstairs home. I drifted off quickly and woke slightly to roll over, getting more comfortable. That's when I saw it. There was a middle-aged blonde man standing in the front at the foot of my bed. I screamed out. I blinked and he was gone. Heard my sister down the hall ask her husband, 'Did Diane just scream?' He ran to my room, switched on the light, and said, 'What happened?' A little panic in his tone, and I laughed, embarrassed, and said, 'I'm sorry. I thought I saw a guy at the end of the bed, but I'm just super tired. I was dream seeing things.' He was sure I was okay and went back to bed, grumpy and needing to check on his jumpy sister-in-law after a hard day. That wasn't the end of it at all. The next night, I woke to the same guy's face staring at me nose to nose when I opened my eyes in the middle of the night. This time I didn't scream, but I was startled and started to put the pieces together. We had a ghost. Almost every night he'd appear at least once. I told my sister and her husband, and they were intrigued, and believe me, my sister and I have seen things and felt things all our lives. This wasn't new territory to us, but the fact that it was almost nightly in a full vision, not shadows or figures from the corner of our eyes, was new. He was no figment. He haunted this house. My sister asked the previous owner what was up, and he asked her to describe what we were both seeing. She described him, and the previous owner said, 'Oh, that must be Alan. He lived there before us and killed himself, not in the house, but while he lived there. His death was a reason that his wife sold us the house. Now we have a name to go with the ever-present face in the night. From then on, when he'd show up in the middle of the night, I'd just say, 'Go away, Alan, I need to sleep.' Then I'd roll over and continue sleeping. My sister started seeing him then, also standing at the foot of her bed. She screamed and woke her husband while refusing to blink, staring at him. Her husband couldn't see him, even though he was clear as day to her. Alan started letting us know he was around, knocking things off shelves in the bathroom, adjusting the old rotary thermostat to uncomfortable settings, hotter in the summer, colder in the winter. And we continued our renovation for about a year and replaced the thermostat with a digital model that he couldn't adjust for himself. I moved into the house downstairs, and they made their nest upstairs. Things settled down. We didn't really see Alan anymore, but sometimes when you're upstairs watching TV in the living room, a shadow will dart across the hallway, or a sound will come from an empty room, and we'll know Alan is around.
Why do you think he messes with the thermostat and stuff? Is it just he wants them not to be there, or is he just like, hey, I'm still here, and this is the only thing I can play with?
Maybe it was the only thing he could play with, and they took his toy away.
Could be.
Now shit's gonna get real.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering, you know, with a digital, I would think a digital might almost be easier to manipulate from the other side versus the old dial.
Think so, unless he's limited on his skill set and doesn't know how to work it.
Could be. It's like a technology type thing. Like, ah, damn VCR, you know? Or,
yeah.
I still don't think I ever... that's one thing I've never really learned how to program was a VCR.
Yeah.
I know. Never.
Those days are gone.
I know. Now it's so simple, but the VCR used to have really complex. I remember all that. It was nuts. And there was even like a, I remember the VCR we had, you could also watch TV through it too. You could hook up your TV directly to it and had like up to like 13 or 14 antenna channels that could come through it. And below that, each one had their own like tracking setting, and it was like you had to use a pen to like adjust it. It was so crazy. But yeah, those days are gone. Maybe someday, just for fun, just learn how to program a VCR just to say I've done it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Sean Marie writes in, hi Tony and Jenny, love your show, listen to it every day at work. I've wanted to share this story with you and your listeners for a while and finally made the time to send it. It deals with the passing of my maternal grandfather back in the early 90s. I was in college and living at home with my parents when my grandfather became very ill and slipped into a coma. The doctors confirmed that he most likely wouldn't come out of it, so we basically were waiting for the inevitable. I had a very disturbing experience that took place the night he passed away. It rocked my world as he stuck with me ever since, and has stuck with me ever since. The night was pretty uneventful. I went to sleep, but woke up quite suddenly at 1 a.m. My eyes flew open, but of course I didn't see anything in the pitch-dark bedroom. Adrenaline was surging through my body, and the sense of fear in the room was almost palpable. I thought I just had a bad dream, but then I sensed rushing movement, like something was very quickly darting around the darkened room. I now understand that I've been an empath since I was a small child, but this time I wasn't aware that I could take on the feelings of others. Literally, I was hit with a clear sense that I was fleeing from something so horrible that I dared not turn around to see what was chasing me. Yes, I was in bed under the covers, but I felt that I was being chased through the dark. If that wasn't horrifying enough, I was then hit with the sense that what was chasing me was death itself. How I knew this, I don't know, but I knew it like I knew my name. The only thing I could think to do was egress to the behavior of a 5-year-old, pull the covers over my head, and wait for whatever was in my room to go away. Going back to sleep was not an option, and after lying there petrified for close to an hour, I heard my parents' phone ring. It was my aunt saying that my grandfather had passed. Turns out, he transitioned right about the time I had my experience. The horrifying connection I made was that the rushing, petrified feeling presence I felt was my grandfather's spirit being chased by death. He'd been in a coma, so maybe he was confused when he died and was moving from familiar place to familiar place looking for help. Granddaddy and I were very close, and for years I tortured myself thinking he came to me frightened, and I was too scared to recognize it was him. What if he was earthbound, still confused and scared, not knowing that he died and unable to rest? Over the years, I tried to push the events out of my head because not having answers was so upsetting. Last year, I was watching the famous psychic medium live stream on Facebook and put out a comment that I was concerned about my grandfather. While the famous medium didn't answer me, I did receive a private message from another medium who saw my comment. Without my having given much detail, she told me my grandfather did visit our house to say goodbye, but the fear I sensed wasn't him. She said what I felt was a lingering spirit of someone else who died at the hospital and was following my grandfather because my grandfather saw and acknowledged the person's spirit. The spirit had been frightened, confused, and lost for quite a while and was sticking close to Granddaddy in hopes that he could help him. While that is sad, I was relieved to have had this burden lifted after all these years. While he was an ornery man, he was still very lovable, and I hope he was able to help that lost soul cross over. That's my story. Thank you so much for giving me a form in which to share. Be well.
I think that's interesting that she was able to pick up on that in her sleep, that completely empathic connection, mm-hmm. you know, beyond just a death visit from the grandfather, but pick up on the fear of this other spirit that was with him.
The nervous energy.
Yeah.
Like being able to define it, not just there's something here that shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. It really got into some detail. That's creepy. If would you be helping someone else who was confused, trying to cross over, was just kind of tagging along, and you're like, this is my time.
Knowing me, I probably would.
Yeah.
You? Or you telling them like, to screw it. Off? No, yeah.
Screw off. Right. You're dead. Figure it out. I'm dead too. Go wherever you need to go. Bye.
Yeah. I could see you.
I don't think I would. I think I'd be just as confused. I think I would be kind of like, oh, at least somebody else is here. Unless they were just an idiot, unless they were just really annoying the hell out of me. And I was just like, okay, I don't think I'd be interacting with you in real life.
Yeah.
Why do I have to? Really? We have to do this in death too?
Uh-huh.
We still have people that frustrate.
People have to go somewhere, you know?
I know, but
annoying people don't just like go to annoying land when they're dead.
They should though.
I know.
There should be a whole, you know, you just kind of go where it wouldn't be annoying, where you're amongst other annoying people and you're not annoyed by them because everybody's doing the same thing.
They call that hell, honey.
That's true. There you go. Well, that answers that question. All annoying people don't go to hell.
I wish, right?
That's not how it works. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Anna writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Anna, and the story I'm about to tell you happened a few years ago when I was attending college. My old college is located right in the border in between Matramos and Brownsville in South Texas. And it used to be a fort before they turned it into what it is today. I used to hear all kinds of stories from people like janitors who refused to clean the college at night because they reported hearing and seeing things, or professors who would see people in old-style military uniforms walking around the hallways and vanishing out of nowhere. Other people would hear movement from cavalry and infantry late at night, and one of the most famous stories was about an appearance of a lady in white. Nobody ever described what she looked like. They only said that she was wearing white. It was around 10 in the morning, and I was reading and waiting for my next class to begin out of one of the lobbies. I went into the women's bathroom, and to give you an idea of what the bathrooms were like, the facilities were U-shaped. When you entered the bathroom, there were like three stalls directly to your left. If you kept walking, you made a left turn, and there were three or four sinks, a mirror above each of them. Then when you turned left, there were four more stalls. There's no windows. I walked into the bathroom with my head down and my headphones on, and I was walking towards the restroom stalls in the back. Heard some noises of someone who was picking up their purse or backpack, and I heard the stall door squeak open with an echo coming from the back where I was headed, like if someone was about to leave a stall a few steps after I had walked in. The noise was loud enough for me to hear, despite the noise in my headphones. I was walking through the mirrors, still looking down. When I was about to approach the last turn, I saw a shadow on the floor like if someone was approaching. I stepped to the side by instinct to let the other person through, and when I looked up, nobody was walking next to me physically. But in the reflection of the mirror, I saw a short, stubby woman with dark skin and very shiny black hair tied back in a ponytail, wearing a white shirt, strolling right past me. I didn't see her facial features because she kept looking forward as she was walking, and it took a while for the whole thing to register in my mind that nobody was walking next to me. But then in the mirror, there was someone who was walking past me who was right beside me. By the time the person should have reached the last mirror, she had vanished. My mouth was open and I was a little bit in shock, though not scared, and my skin had goosebumps all over. I guess I can say I was excited that I got to see something like that. I had done a bit of ghost hunting and never saw or felt anything. Since that day, I've experienced a few other things, but this was the first time I experienced something like that, and I wanted to share my story. I love your show, and thank you. Keep up the good work.
I wonder where that ghost was trying to get to, you know? Mm-hmm. Is she going to go to class? Why, you know? She just thinks she's going to the bathroom in between classes, I think.
Doing her thing.
Yeah.
It's like the Sixth Sense. You just kind of keep going through the routines and wonder why no one wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be very depressing.
It would be.
At a certain point. It's like, and then all of a sudden you've had the realization, oh my God, for the last how many years, I've been dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would kind of suck. Thank you for sharing that experience. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one comes in from Crystal. Hello, my name's Crystal, and some of the experience that I'm about to tell you happened to me and my sister a few years ago. It all started when my family and I moved into a house back in 2005. My sister and I have been interested in the paranormal for as long as I can remember, and we used to joke around about it. For example, we had a chandelier above the dining room. We had it on the low setting, and whenever we had friends sleep over, they asked about it. We just say, oh, it's a ghost. Maybe a year later, we ended up getting rid of the chandelier and replacing it with a ceiling fan. We also had a basement that I wasn't very fond of because I always felt like when I went down there, I was being watched. Not sure if I was really being watched or if it was the side effects of watching a lot of scary movies with creepy basements. But a couple of years later, I found out that I was most likely being watched. I was in my room one day messing around on my laptop when suddenly I saw a reflection of a figure in the corner of my laptop. I quickly turned around, but I didn't see anything behind me. Of course, the first thing that popped in my head was that it was my sister, but then I started thinking to myself, number one, my door was locked, so she wouldn't have been able to get in. Number two, the figure I saw was shaped like a man. And three, where did it go? The moment all these thoughts went through my head, I got up, walked out of my room, and went into my sister's room and told her exactly what happened, then stayed with her for a few hours before I had the courage to go back into my room. This was the first experience I ever had, and looking back to it now, even though it startled me, I'd never felt like I was in any danger. A few days after that happened to me, smaller things started happening. Like, for example, my dog would sometimes wake up and start barking at the corner of my room, or I would hear footsteps in the hallways or see something in the corner of my eye. Another experience that stuck out to me was one morning I was alone in the house, and at that time, I worked from home. The way my house was set up was that right when you walked in from the front door, you would have to either walk upstairs to go to the living room or downstairs to go to the basement. I was working on my laptop, and my back was towards the stairs, front door, and all of a sudden, I started to hear voices coming from the basement, like someone was having a conversation at first. I thought it was a TV. I realized everything was off and no one was at our home. I got up, started walking to the stairs, but right when I started moving, right then, I started moving closer, it stopped. I never heard anything else after that. The very last experience that happened in this house happened to my sister. She had a friend sleeping over. They were both in her room and I was in mine. I decided to go to bed early, but suddenly was woken up by a phone call. When I picked up my phone, I saw that it was my sister who was calling. I answered the phone. The first thing my sister asked was, "Were you trying to get in my room a few seconds ago?" I answered no, but also very confused on why she was asking me this. She continued to explain that someone or something was turning the doorknob like it was trying to open the door, but then it stopped. I told her again that it wasn't me, and I was sleeping. She asked me to check if anyone was outside the door, and when I checked, no one was there. The rest of that night, my sister and her friend could not sleep. I no longer live in that house anymore, nor does any of my family members. With everything that happened to me and my sister, I can honestly say I never felt threatened or felt like I was in any danger, but I did constantly feel like I was being watched and never fully alone.
I think it's just a confused ghost that doesn't realize he doesn't live there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't try and do anything scary, just going about living there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's scary to you when you're going through that.
Sure. It's not like the previous story, or one of the previous stories where it was the ghost is just in the house mm-hmm. doing their thing.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? Do you ask the ghost to leave at some point? What if they're comfy and happy?
If it starts doing things that, you know, you really feel frightened, I'd ask it to leave or ask it to stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't want a ghost, but I'd almost feel bad if it was just thinking it was still living in its house.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's really not doing anything to harm anyone.
Right.
The thing is, the inadvertent scare. I think if I was the ghost and they said, "Please stop doing this, you're scaring me," I would try to honor that. But I think sometimes you would just inadvertently do things that would frighten someone if they're somehow picking up on you.
Sure.
I hope there's no way to really banish the ghost. And they're like, don't make us break out the sage.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't care. I like Thanksgiving food. And then it would be.
It's not the same kind of sage.
I'll never understand that.
Okay.
I need to get some of this so I can smell it and see what the big difference is.
Okay.
Is it dramatically different in scent?
It still smells sagey, but it's just different. You don't want
to
cook with
it. You don't want to cook with it, or you can't cook with it?
I don't know.
I'm going to make like a demon away turkey for Thanksgiving this year.
That sounds wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
The Exorcist turkey. Well, there's all sorts of horror. You know, I don't even want to get into it. I'll offend someone.
Yeah.
It's like, wait till you see what I do with a wishbone. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our next story says, Dear Tony and Jenny, hope this letter finds you well. I've been listening to your show for almost a year now. I felt that it's a high time that I contribute. So here I go with a short and sweet story I heard as a child. Before I get started, though, please allow me to explain a little background into my family. I am half Okinawan, and my Okinawan family, on both my grandmother and grandfather's side, has had generations of shamans and priestesses within the family for as long as we can remember. To say that we've all experienced paranormal events within our life is an understatement, and it's been part of my upbringing. So now, onto my story. This one is about my dad's former coworker and took place about 15 years ago. My dad was a gunny in the Marine Corps at the time and was the head of a large aircraft maintenance shop. One day, Dad came home and told us an interesting story that was relayed to him by one of the guys. This guy, we'll call him Joe, never went to bed before midnight, preferring to stay up into the wee hours every night. One night, he was out in the back balcony of his apartment building, smoking around 2 a.m., when he saw something moving around down below on the ground about three stories down. He flipped the switch on, thinking there must be an animal down there. To his horror, he saw a bleeding, dirty young woman looking up at him. She was wearing a ragged kimono. It was splotched with blood, and she had wounds all over her body. They just stared at each other until she disappeared into thin air, shocking him to the core. My father told us that he was visibly shaken, and he was telling my dad this story. So that ever since he saw that woman, he's been going to bed early with his wife and doesn't venture out at night. I have no doubt in my mind that Joe saw an apparition of a victim of the Battle of Okinawa, a very bloody affair that left almost a third of the island's population dead. The island is very haunted, and chilling tales like this and worse are part of everyday life here. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I hope you hear this letter. I hope to hear this letter on the show. P.S. In closing, I'll include a warning that I've heard since I was a child. It's fine if you want to watch something scary, but remember, when you watch that stuff, they watch it with you.
Ooh. Woo! That's our second Okinawa story.
Yeah, lots of ghosts. Week. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, these things come in waves and
these stories
bunches
we're reading today came into us in November
of last year.
Yeah, and it is almost, well, by the time this airs, it's September of the following year. So I have no idea what we said on that show that spawned stories from Okinawa, but I'm enjoying them.
I am too. I do wonder that sometimes, like, and sometimes it's very obvious where it's like, oh, you talked about this, so now I'm going to talk about that. Sure. But sometimes it's just out of nowhere. Things just kind of click together. And it's like, well, this is strange that these themes are coming together. I've actually had that on the Dream Meetings podcast, and I couldn't tell you what it was the other day. But it was the same sort of deal. We're just going through it. And I realize, oh my gosh, like all of these stories kind of have a similar tie together. And I'm just randomly going through them. I'm just, as they come in, it's first come, first serve, reading them as they came in order. And there was a common theme that came with almost all of the stories. I can probably look here. Hang on one second. I can probably tell you what it was. Dun, dun, dun. Pull it up. If you want to hear these stories, by the way, you can check out the Dream Meanings podcast. Just look it up. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, all that. Dream Meanings is what it's called. And dreamingradio.com is the website for it. Premonitions. It was about premonitions.
Okay.
It was just people constantly having premonitions. Now, on this show, we kind of get that sort of stuff when people talk about dreams. Mm-hmm. But on that show, not so much. I mean, every once in a while, there's something somewhat ghostly or paranormal, but this one was just like one after another.
Yeah.
And
premonitions kind of fit into both shows.
They do. I mean, they really do. I was just kind of surprised because I know that, you know, we've experienced that on this show where the stories have a theme that just naturally comes together, and I'm seeing it on the other one too.
Sometimes the shows put themselves together.
They do. Yeah. It's kind of
It's like, it is sometimes.
Marissa writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I have a bizarre house hunting story to share from California." There it goes. "I had an appointment to view a home for rent in the historic downtown area of the city. A large portion of the neighborhood is known for their heritage home tours. I was happily surprised to see that this rental was a lovely historic home near a park with a carriage house converted into an office space. My husband was self-employed at the time, and with one toddler, this place was ideal and within our budget, surprisingly. The property manager met me on the porch. Once I walked in, I noticed immediately that there was a parlor room to the left. I was trying to not show too much excitement, but I was giddy inside. It was a small house for a small family with the park nearby and a private office. I was feeling like I struck gold. The house has upgrades in the kitchen, the property manager explained. The kitchen was in the back of the house, spacious and with a lovely original Tuscan-style tile backsplash. I was smitten. I was starting to plan my future in this house. The property manager said the attic has been turned into a bonus room. Would you like to see? The door to the attic was inside the kitchen. I really could not get better. The staircase leading to the bonus attic room was very narrow and easily gives off the funhouse effect. I felt anxious to get to the top of these stairs. Once inside the room, the property manager explained to me that this room has no window that opens so it can get stuffy in the summer. The only window in that room was more like a widow's peak-style stained glass window. Pretty, but mainly ornamental. We made our way back down to the kitchen and discussed specifics. As we were speaking without warning, the door to the attic, not the door to the kitchen, but the attic room door upstairs, slammed shut hard. The door slammed so hard we both shuddered. I can say with certainty the property manager was well aware of what had happened, but what happened next was even more weird. The property manager, without missing a beat, kept talking. I'm stunned in shock of what just happened, and then realizing this woman is going to pretend nothing happened. I made it out of the door very quickly. Once we both left to our cars, I sat there to gather my wits. Suddenly a knock on the window snapped me back to reality. It was a property manager. You forgot your application papers. Thank you for creating a space to share.
Yeah, I would not be applying. I would be, no.
I would think the only way you're going to save that sale is to just kind of come clean. If you're, you know, something goes on. It's like, look, some things happen here sometimes, but, you know, if there's, you know, if your knowledge to it is nothing bad.
Yeah.
If your knowledge to it is just simply, yeah, we've had reports as, you know, some doors, you know, I don't, may just, we think it's a gust, or if that's all it is, if it, and you could write it off as the gust of wind or the, you know, the pressure in the house changing, because that does cause that stuff to happen, especially in older homes. But if there's more to it, which maybe there is, then I don't think you want to go into the ghost story. I would just go with, if that's all your knowledge is of the doors. Oh, the weird drafts in this house cause the doors to slam sometimes. Nothing to worry about.
And that's not a big selling point either, the weird drafts, you know?
It isn't, but if it's like like your perfect house and it's in your budget and it's in a great area, I could write that off if that's like at that time and that's what you're wanting.
Sure.
You know? But I would want to understand what it is and not being a ghost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good story. Thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Samantha writes in, update on the Hat Man shadow at my house. Is this Hat Man from a couple days ago?
It might be.
Because we had Hat Man, we had a Hat Man story. It was, I don't know, a week ago.
I don't know if it's the same Hat Man, because... Okay. We have Hat Man a lot.
That's true. That's true. Hey, Tony and Jenny, I've written to you several times, and most recently about current activity happening in my house. I'm still working my way through the backlog of cases, so I'm not sure if you've read anything online. I'm listening to the episode Lurking in the Shadows from July of 2015, and you're all talking about the Shadow Man with a hat. If you Google him, he has been seen all over the world and usually comes in where there's some type of domestic concern, which my house is fraught with, as my children and I live with my mother and her husband, and let's just say it's not been the best situation for any of us. So my last story, I told you about myself and my friend and my daughter seeing two shadow people in my home. Since that story, a few things have happened. On Wednesday last week, my daughter, who is six, and I were watching cartoons. You guys have little ones, so if you're familiar, we're watching The Loud House on Nick. While sitting there, my daughter says to me, "Mommy, I do not like that man on the TV." I said, "What man, baby?" She said, "That man with the red eyes, Mommy." I didn't see any man like that on TV and asked her if it was a commercial or on another channel earlier. She pointed and said, no, mommy, right there. I cut off the TV and we went to another room to color. Also last week, while at work, I was walking with my friend from one building on our campus to another. He was talking animatedly about using his hands while he was speaking. I felt a sharp tug on my hoodie like someone was standing behind me and wanted my attention. I turned around and saw nothing but felt like I had just missed whoever was standing there. Later that same day at work, I was sitting in my chair and felt like someone was grabbing the back of my chair and pushed it down again to get my attention. Took out my earbuds, turned around expecting to see one of my managers standing there, and there was nobody, and nobody was walking by. Finally, on Saturday evening, while I was at my friend's house, the one who saw the hat man in her dream, I was showing her how a pendulum works, and we were asking if something was in my house. At the same time at my house, my mom was home alone with all our dogs, and my dog Boston woke up from a dead sleep and started howling and shaking. She ran into my room and got into my bed. She refused to leave the bed even when I came back home, and she stayed the night in the bed with me. She hasn't offered to sleep in my bed since she was a puppy, so this was very strange. I'll continue to keep you all updated on activity as it happens and let you know if saging a second time will work. Sorry this was long. Keep up all the awesome work on the show.
You know, I kind of wonder if maybe saging a second time is sometimes needed. You know how when you need to get rid of pests of certain types, you have to almost like treat twice after a wait, you know?
Sure.
I wonder if it's like that.
Or like an air freshener or a potpourri, if you will. Eventually, they wear down.
Yeah.
And then it's just the, you know, the object sitting there. And whatever smell it was masking slowly invades again. Same sort of thing.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of immediate, you know, sometimes one dose isn't enough. You've got to do it a second dose right there. Of course, things wear off, but I don't know.
I'm waiting for potpourri to make a comeback. It was good stuff.
Kids started eating it, so it became a problem.
That's why they stopped it?
Well, little kids see chunks of dried fruit.
Oh, yeah, the dried fruit ones, yeah.
And it's like, oh, and it smells good. A lot of potpourri that smells good.
It did.
They want to try and eat it.
And there was like chemicals on it to make it smell, and that's why it all kind of went to hell.
I think so. I think that's why a lot of moms just decided not to do it. Now, grandmas will still do it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my mom when she had the potpourri, and that was the big kick in the 90s. We didn't have fruit in ours, but I know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. But we would always just have like it was almost like gerbil bedding, but it was scented. You know, it was
the big shavings.
The big shavings,
right.
Yes. And that's
scented gerbil bedding. That's nice.
Well, essentially, it kind of was. It was like, is this potpourri or is this gerbil bedding? And then eventually our gerbils would make their own scents. And then you'd try and hide it with the potpourri, not in their cage, but like in the other, you know, the same room in a different area. And I just thought, why not just give them the potpourri? Just potpourri instead of
because they'll eat it and it's not good.
And it's probably would kill them.
Yeah.
I had that one gerbil that did escape, and I was told for years it ran away to go live with the chipmunks. This is the tragic story of my childhood. And I'm pretty blessed that this is the worst, you know, story I think I have of when I was young.
Is that the worst thing your parents told you?
You know, I was fortunate. I honestly, there really wasn't a whole lot of, you know, it was like great grandmas who passed away and stuff like that. But, you know, I didn't have anybody real close that passed or anything like that when I was a young child. You know, can get to be later in life and things change. But, you know, the first, you know, 1 to 10, it's pretty tragic event free,
sure,
if you will. I'd say the worst thing that happened in that time period, and maybe it's not, I don't know, but it was, I had two gerbils in this cage that we had gotten at a garage sale, and the top of it wasn't there. So we created a top just with some leftover screening, like from a porch screen. And we had it on there pretty tight and good. I mean, it was just as good as if you had bought one, probably even better, I would say, because it was really secure. Well, gerbils, I don't know how he did it because it was a fairly tall tank, but somehow, I don't know if he leaped or jumped or whatever, but he got up there. One of them did, held on to the, like the middle of the screen, because there was nothing for him to like stand on and reach, chewed a hole through the metal screening, got out. I have no idea to this day how he did it. That would have been like MacGyver gerbilish to watch as he's hanging out with like one paw and gnawing away at the screen. But he did it. And there was two gerbils. One was kind of an asshole gerbil. The other one was nice. With my luck, it was a nice one that escaped. Probably got sick of the little, you know,
asshole gerbil friend.
He got out and I never saw him again. And my mom told me, oh, well, I think he probably got out the door and he's out there living with the chipmunks. When I was about 18 or 19, this topic comes up, you know, pets, things of that nature. Like, remember that one that got away? Did you ever see it running in the yard just by chance? Or, you know, and she's like, oh, God. Oh, well, here's what really happened.
You still thought maybe it was running around the yard when you were 18?
No, I mean, I thought it had died probably, but I was curious if they had ever seen it again in the yard, like right after it happened.
Oh, you really thought it got out?
Yes.
Okay.
I believed it. I mean, it seemed logical. we had screen doors. They have doors open quite a bit. This was summer. So
I just think of the man that went to work professionally at the age of 14, still thinks his gerbil ran away at 18.
Well, it was a logical thought. I mean, if it gets out and you never find it, you assume it probably got outside somehow. It got caught between your dresser and the wall.
Ugh.
And I had to scrape it off.
Jeez.
Were like the exact words used. And I'm like, oh my God. Really? There you go.
Hey, parent, when you're a parent, you have to tell your kids stuff. Like,
I would do the same thing.
Harper still thinks that when the ice cream cone is spinning at the local place where you get ice cream, that means they're out of ice cream. And I'm wondering how long that'll go. Otherwise,
she's pretty damn smart at a lot of things, but there's certain things like that where you still kind of got her.
Well, and took forever for Libby to figure out the ice cream truck when it plays music does not mean they're out of ice cream.
I think she figured that out like fourth grade.
Yeah.
Right around there. But no, it was she was younger than that when she figured that out. But yeah, I mean, it was we drove by an ice cream place the other day and Harp was like, oh, look, the sign's spinning. That means they're out of ice cream. Guess we can't get any.
Worked like a charm.
Yes. And that was not as tragic as your gerbil was crushed to death behind the dresser.
And we had to scrape it.
We had to scrape it off the wall. I was like, I didn't know if I was going to be able to get all the stuff off the wall, so I had to like repaint a little bit.
God.
Like, that poor gerbil. Naomi writes in, hi there, Tony and Jenny. Wanted to write in after sharing my stories previously. I've shared my experiences where we had a family reunion at a former plantation and where we were haunted in our cabin. Anyhow, I've been learning more recently that I'm more sensitive to certain energies. Earlier this week, while at work, I have a desk job. We, myself, my coworker, and my supervisor encountered a shadow person. I'll start by describing my encounter and then their encounters as well. The way my desk is set up, it has my back turned to the aisle, so if I'm deep into working and someone approaches my desk, I won't see them unless I turn completely around. As I was working on Monday, I felt something standing behind me. Coincidentally, I was listening to your show as I felt someone just standing right behind me and very close. I assumed that whoever they were waiting on a response from me, and I had my headphones on, so I turned to ask them to repeat themselves as no one was there. I thought maybe someone had walked away due to getting no response. However, I disqualified that as I noticed that my coworkers' desks were empty, and I remembered they were at lunch. I felt a little nervous because I was hoping that I was just losing my mind instead of experiencing an encounter. So when my coworkers returned, I felt relieved and went back to listening to your show, and a few moments later, I felt someone standing over me and felt like they were curious. I figured that my supervisor had crept up behind me again because she's like a sneaky cat. Ironically, it's her nickname for Kathleen. I turn to see there's no one behind me, but I see across the aisle that my supervisor and my coworker are having an intense conversation, but figured that it had nothing to do with me. Almost immediately, I felt negative and combative, like everyone was getting on my nerves, and found myself apologizing for snapping at people, and felt this way until I physically left the building. As I come back to my desk, I hear my supervisor talking to my coworker, asking her if she sees it, in which she's referring to something in an empty office across the way where we have our one-on-ones. When they come out, they both provide their encounters with the shadow man. My supervisor saw him the most staring, starting with that morning. She said she saw a man in her car that morning as she was walking towards it, but when she got closer, no one was there, so she attributed it to being early morning and her still being tired. She saw him again at her desk when she was looking in her mirror, but when she turned around, there was no one there. Our encounters are about to cross paths. The third time she saw him, she was talking to my coworker who sits across from me, and when my coworker turned around to acknowledge my supervisor, she said, without hesitation, I could have sworn there was a tall man standing behind you. At this time, I'm feeling someone behind my back, and my supervisor asks her, you can see him too? So they go to have their one-on-one, and they see him walk into the empty office before them, which freaks them out and sent them to a different office to have their meeting. Each of us admitted that we were in very negative moods that afternoon and highly irritable. I truly enjoy your show. I'll write back about my sleep paralysis, where I believe I was visited by a demonic presence and its ties to my witch doctor voodoo family past.
I guess at least you're not the only one in that boat seeing the ghost, you know?
Add some verification to it.
It does. It doesn't make for a very pleasant work environment, but at least you're not the only one dealing with that and having troubles.
And others looking at you like, yeah, okay, sure.
Right.
You know, that it's good to have that, the community when you have an experience like that. Thanks for writing in and sharing that experience. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, please become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. And you get access to all of our bonus episodes of the show, and you keep us on the air. Without the EPPs, this thing wouldn't be existing. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.